TNF soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Charlotte from Guide Dogs, back with another update on what's happening in Buddy Dogs, our support dog scheme for children with sight loss. This month, I've been doing lots of planning for an event that I'm holding in the summer for families who already have a buddy dog, and for families who are considering whether it's right for them. These events are really fun and interactive, with activities for a range of age groups. We hold these events at our guide dog centres and have tables with different activities set up so the families can choose what they'd like to do. My favourite activity is dog treat making. We ask the children to weigh out flour using talking scales, then peel and mash a banana into the mix and crack an egg in. They then have to spoon the mixture into moulds ready to be microwaved. We bag up the treats and the child can take them home for their dog or donate them to a family with a dog if they don't have their own yet. This is a pretty messy activity and the dogs often want to be quite involved, but it is really fun and gets children interacting with each other. Other activities include teaching their dog a new trick, like a spin or a paw, which helps to improve their bond with their dog, and a sensory treasure hunt that encourages them to use their sense of hearing, touch and smell. These activities can be quite chaotic in a really fun way. Having a big space full of children and dogs comes with its challenges, but we often hear that the children really enjoy and benefit from the interaction, and it's a good way for prospective buddy dog owners to hear some real life experiences. Aside from this, I had several families waiting for matches, so I have been looking at all dogs currently coming out of training in the southwest to see if any were suitable. This month there weren't any dogs leaving training that would have matched my families, but there was a dog that had been removed from the breeding programme. She had been unreceptive to mating and had not conceived in 2 years, but is an otherwise lovely dog and, at 4 years old, would have been too old to begin guide dog training. I felt that she would be a nice match for one of my families who would benefit from a slightly older, calmer dog, as they are a busy family with an active life. We are now waiting for the dog to recover from her spay, but once she is back in full health, I will place her with this family who are really excited to meet her. I am hoping that in the coming weeks, I will have a few more suitable dogs so that I can get all of my waiting families matched. Buddy dog matching is typically quite quick. The majority of families will have their dog within 6 months of joining the waiting list. And lastly, I have done a few visits to see families who have a buddy dog but need a hand with some training. One such visit was to a family with an excitable golden retriever who was greeting strangers too enthusiastically on walks. I never turn down an opportunity to work directly in behaviour management due to my history as a guide dog trainer, so I really enjoyed joining the family on a walk and giving them tips on how to manage and correct their dog's lunging and jumping. We were already seeing improvements by the end of the walk, and the parents were feeling much more confident to manage their dog's behaviour, as well as walking safely with their two children. A big part of being in the buddy dog team is providing ongoing support to families in order to get the best possible behaviour from the dog, and it's an aspect of the job that I really love. That's all from me now. I'll be back soon with more tales from Guide Dogs.
Hello, this is Penny Melville-Brown from Baking Blind and all sorts of other things. I'm going to give you some real recipes that I cook in my kitchen, and I have no sight at all, so if I can do it, you might be able to manage some of them. You can find my recipes on pennymelvillebrown.com. Here is a very simple basis for a roast lunch. I'm not going to get into all the stuffing and the vegetables, but let's just do a roast chicken with roast potatoes and roast parsnips. So the first thing I do is I've got a fresh chicken or a defrosted one, and you take all the wrapping off it. So you've got perhaps some elastic around its legs. Take all that off because you want your chicken to spread its legs so it can get lots of heat all the way down the thighs. And I then measure 60 grams of salt into a plastic box, a large plastic box. And mine, I use 4 litre ice cream boxes. And into that goes a litre of water, and into that goes your chicken. Pop the lid on, put it in the fridge, leave it there overnight. And this is about brining a chicken. And what you're doing is helping to plump up all the cells in the chicken. And this came from Heston Blumenthal years ago. And I've used it all the time since then. If you go mad, you can put some herbs and stuff in there. But I don't bother, just the salt and the water. So that's in the fridge overnight. Now, on that same day, the day before I'm cooking, I'm going to prepare my potatoes for roast potatoes and my parsnips. Now, I confess, quite a lazy cook, and I certainly don't like washing up. So I'm going to use a deep foil dish that I can throw away once it's been used. I don't have to wash it up. And I'm also going to use either goose fat or duck fat, or you could use lard, but you're going to need to have it a bit liquid. We'll come to that in a minute. So, potatoes peeled, cut up to the right size, parboiled in their water with a bit of salt. And when they're parboiled, so that's about 5 minutes at most, you lift them out, drain them, and you shuggle them in the pan. Now, this, of course, is a very technical phrase, shuggling, because what you're trying to do is rough up the edges a little bit so they go crispy. In they go into my foil dish, and then I'm going to use my duck fat or my goose fat, and I'm going to turn them over. Now, it's a bit hot at this stage because they just boiled, but just let them cool a little and they'll melt the fat and it'll start coating them. And at the same time, I'm doing my parsnips, which I've already peeled, quartered, popped into the pan, boiling water, boiled for about 5 minutes or so, drained. Now, it depends how many you've eaten for lunch, but I would have. For a few people, you can put them in with the potatoes. And what I do with the parsnips, just like the potatoes, is turn them over in the fat. Because the whole point is that you are creating an oxygen tight seal around the potato, around the parsnips, with the fat. So oxygen can't go in and oxidate the potato or the parsnip, which makes it start going to taste stale. That's not what we want at all. So turn all those vegetables over a couple of time. I often get a lid with my foil dish, pop the lid on, throw it in the fridge next to my chicken, walk away. That wasn't too much, was it? Not too much work at all. So next day, let's assume we're going to have lunch at about 1 o'clock. So by 9 o'clock, I'm in the kitchen and I'm going to fish out my box with the chicken, drain it. I will often have made some butter and salt and pepper and herbs and perhaps some lemon zest and some lemon juice. Stuff that under the skin, over the breast. Metal tin, chicken into tin, stuff it in the oven, and that's that done. But the important thing is, I'm going to set that oven very low. I would set it at gas mark one, about 170 to 100 degrees Celsius. So it's very cool. And that chicken is just going to sit there for 3 hours. Later on, I will get out my probe thermometer, and I've got a talking one, and I push it into the chicken. At the thickest part, so I will be into the thigh and perhaps low down in the breast. And I'm being careful not to touch the bone because bone conducts heat. But I'm just going to check whether it's got to 70 degrees Celsius. That would be the minimum I think you want to have it. So if it's got to that stage, out it comes. I cover it with foil. And a proper kitchen towel, one of the fluffy ones that's fabric, and that will just keep it warm while I cook the potatoes. So the oven is turned up to, I would use gas mark six, which is. So I turn the oven up to gas mark six, which is about 200 degrees Celsius. Let it get hot for a few minutes, then whack in my tray of potatoes and parsnips. I've given them another turnover before I put them in the oven, and I've taken off the lid. So they're going to take about 45 minutes. That's time to do the rest of the veg, make some gravy, warm the plates up, and then eventually my potatoes and parsnips are done. I might have turned them over halfway through. Out they come, and if I want to brown the chicken skin, I will uncover that, turn the oven up to maximum, pop it in for 5 minutes until the chicken is done. And so the skin is done. There you go. Roast chicken, roast potatoes, roast parsnips. Dead easy.
TNS Soundings.